Amen. Because we treasure the Word of God, as we stand together and we read our opening scripture, the passage that I'm going to read today is out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Hallelujah. And then one more, Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, that it would pierce our hearts, that it would change the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak, in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and praise God. I want to thank Pastor Christine for bringing the word last week. I was in Schenectady, New York, just about 2 hours from here, and preaching at the Abounding Grace Christian Church, pastored by our friends, Pastor Jay and Pam Stillinger. And so I was up there and ministering the Word of God, and it was just a blessing. So thank you, Pastor Christine. I feel like I was able to go back and listen to the message, and it just fit right in line with our subject. Our subject that I have been talking to you about is living a faith life. Living a faith life. And what does that look like? What does that sound like to all of us? And this morning in our service, that word surrender just kept coming and coming and coming. And it's not part of my notes, but it is so perfectly fits in with what I want to talk to you today about. And that faith requires action. Faith requires action. Now, last week, Pastor Christine says, now faith is, right, the substance of things hoped for. She talked about substance being that support to our faith, right? That support. She used the illustration of the music stand supporting what you were believing God for. See, our faith is not just this passive, oh, they're a person of faith. No, not at all. In fact, faith is very much active. You know, I don't know where the devil was able to slip in this thing that faith was supposed to be private. Well, that's just between me and God. No, faith was never supposed to be private. Faith was to move mountains. Do you think you'd do that privately? Do you think that you'd do that in a closet somewhere? No, faith moving mountains is a very public thing. The disciples actually laying their life down for the gospel was a very public thing. This idea that I can be quiet about my faith, I don't know where we get that from. Except for, I believe, the enemy has deceived us into thinking that we must be quiet. I have to tell you, we must not be quiet anymore. When we understand that faith is spoken, it is the first action. It's the first action that we do when we get saved. Is it not? Is it not? We believe in our heart first. And we, what do with our mouth? We confess Him as our Lord and Savior. We say something. That's exactly how the worlds were framed, by the spoken word of God. We can believe and believe and believe and believe, and if we don't say, we're missing it. We're missing it. We're missing it because our action has to start with our mouth. And that's where salvation and the power of God comes into play. You know, I just submit this to you. You know, I hear people say things like, Well, if God wants it, it'll be. Or, you know, God knows. How many? We've all said it. We grew up in churches like, well, God knows. Well, yes, God does know. And God is waiting on us to step out in faith. If we took that same attitude of God knows, and if God wants it, it'll be. At what point when you heard the gospel, at what point could you have gotten saved earlier? I'm just asking. I'm asking some of you, when you actually gave your life to Christ, could you have gotten saved earlier? Why? Because it was your choice. It was your choice. When was the power of God activated in your life to take a dead human spirit that was lost without hope and without God? When was it activated? When you acted on it. When you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. The power of God, the ultimate miracle, taking a dead human spirit and making him alive to Christ. That's when the power of God was activated. God's waiting on us to activate the power that is available to every believer. To every single believer. Now faith is. Now faith is. Not, well, soon faith is. I hope faith is. No, it's now faith is. The substance of things hoped for. Now, as I have been preparing for, we do have several people that have expressed interest in being baptized. And I think that's awesome. And after service today, I'm going to share some things about baptism with anybody who's interested. Now, I only know of the people who've told me. But if you're out here today and you're feeling like, hey, I've never been water baptized, that's my second point today. The first way that you activate your faith is with your mouth. The second way you activate your faith is you obey him. One of the first acts of obedience is we follow him in baptism. Baptism is an act of obedience. It's an act that says, I'm identifying with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm following Jesus. When we say we're a believer, and yet our actions don't line up with that, that's kind of hard to rectify, isn't it? When we say, I believe. I'm reminded of the Amy Grant song from the 1980s. I'm dating myself. But her song, the lyrics were, I have decided I'm going to live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. I'm going to live what I believe. I've decided that being good is just a fable. I'm going to leave it to the Lord. And then she says, there's a wealth of things that I profess. I said that I believed. But deep inside, I never changed. I guess I'd been deceived. Because a voice inside kept telling me, I'll change one day in the by and by. But the Spirit made it clear to me, that kind of life is a lie. I have decided I'm going to live like a believer, turn my back on the deceiver. I'm going to live what I believe. Baptism is an act of faith, of releasing your faith. If you want strong faith, it starts with your mouth confessing Jesus as Lord, and it follows up with your obedience to him, to his word. Now, in this series, I've told you that if you really want strong faith, there are three ways to develop that, right? So, number one, connect with God through the new birth. connect with His Word, because in His Word is His will. Right? And then I said, connect with His people. If you can get those three chords strong in your life, connecting with God, connecting with His Word, and connecting with His people, you will have strong faith. Last week, I ministered along these lines in Schenectady. The sermon was titled, Faith Like a Rope. I used the big rope illustration. And as I prepared for that service, you know, God always brings things out differently in every service. Right. It's because different people need different things, right? Sure. You can't just get up and just memorize a sermon and then just expect it to do the same exact thing. Different people have different needs. And so as I was ministering along these lines, I always study a little bit more. I go a little bit deeper. I don't just rest on what I've had. And I began to study rope making. Now, I'm a history nerd. Okay? And I thought, Lord, how do they make those big ropes? And back in the ancient times, how did they make big, big ropes? How did they do that? And so I found a YouTube video. Reverend Innocent, be proud. I found a YouTube video of somebody making a rope inside their house. I thought, that's pretty cool. They had a little thing, and they were just taking pieces of fiber from a particular plant, and they were just literally weaving them together. This video is kind of long, a little bit boring. I would have showed it to you otherwise. So you just kind of have to speed it up, and as you speed it up, you see that this rope gets really, really big. Then I found another one. This one really intrigued me. It's called a rope run. That sounds interesting. A rope run. Never heard of a rope run, but it's literally a path. A path, and there's several around the world today. They still make rope that way. They can make rope up to a mile long. There's one in England that is a mile long. So think about a mile stretching that way, and then taking these cords, these three core cords, and winding them together. Men on bicycles literally grab one end of it and race down this 1 mile trek to hook it to the other end, and then another machine and a man typically crank. And they're cranking in opposite directions. And as they crank, that rope gets turned and it gets formed. And it becomes a very strong rope that they can tie ships with. Amazing. How do we get strong faith? By continuing to gather. Remember Isaiah? Go there if you would. In the book of Isaiah, we went there last time. They that wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. And we talked about how waiting in our English language can really get us messed up, because we can kind of think of it as very, very passive. Very passive. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait on the Lord. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is this a picture of? This is a picture of somebody gathering and intertwining their life together. And I'm thinking of these ropes being made. Intertwining their life together with God, with His Word, and with His people. If you're missing one of those three, you don't have strong faith. If you're missing one of those, you don't have strong faith. If you're not connecting with God, with His Word, and with His people, then you don't have strong faith. And that sounds like a really harsh statement. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to tell you that's how it works. If you want strong faith, I'm not saying that you're not getting to heaven. Right. I'm not saying that at all. Right. What I am saying is if you want to have fruit in your life, you want to see God do miracles in your life, You want to hear the voice of God speak to you on the inside, and you want to see amazing things in your life, then you've got to do what I'm talking about. You've got to connect with Him. First of all, if you want to get to heaven, you do have to be born again. End of story. Okay? You got to connect with Him. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. But then over there, turn with me to John 15. John 15. Gospel of John 15. You know, we all want this strong faith that we see. We want strong faith to see miracles. We want strong faith to see things happen. We want that. But are we willing to do our part? God is waiting on us. This whole idea of surrender. John 15 and verse 7. John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me, what's that talking about? Connecting with God. This whole series on living the faith life. Connect with God. How do you do that? Through prayer. Through consecration. Right? He says this. If you abide in me. If you abide in me. That's conditional. If you abide in me. If He's waiting on you. It's your choice. If you abide in me. And my words abide in you. Are you connecting with His word? Are you connecting with His word? His word will change you. His word will burn stuff out of you. You got a bad habit? His word will burn it out of you. Because you'll let His word speak. And His word will tell you, don't do that anymore. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It means the word of God will cut through even down into your heart, where faith comes in your heart first. And He says here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for people who are surrendered. A surrendered life. An intertwined life with His. In the early church, the first action that you would take, other than confessing Jesus as your Lord, was you got baptized. Because you made a statement. You're making a public statement. One of our colleagues, Reverend Christopher Alam, was born in Pakistan. And as a young man, directionless, heard the gospel for the first time. He believed in his heart. He confessed Jesus as his Lord. And a Swedish man, Swedish minister, was baptizing in the river publicly in Pakistan. And Reverend Christopher Alam knew, as soon as I do that, I'm a marked man. He literally fled the country for his life. In the early church, before you got baptized, they'd say, make sure that you really know what you're doing. I'm using modern language here. Because you've just said, I'm all in. I'm not holding anything back. I'm not going to keep my little habit over here. My little stuff over here. I'm all in for Jesus. And some of them would literally give their life for the gospel. They believed. Believe. The early church were called believers. That means they were people of faith. You want strong faith? Abide in Him. Abide in His Word and ask what you will and it shall be done. You'll listen to His voice. Why? Because He's your Lord. You'll listen to His voice and He'll tell you to do something. You're not going to question it. Do you know why we don't obey God? Fear. Fear. Do you know what is the antidote to fear? Faith. You want strong faith? Strong faith opens its mouth. Strong faith is not quiet. It opens its mouth. It's bold. It's bold. Last week, a young lady came. And she had come for prayer previously to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This young lady in her teens, she came up at the end of service and she said, I want to be more bold. She got it. She was listening to faith like a rope. She was listening to, I want strong faith. Connect with God, connect with His Word, connect with His people. That's what this series has been about. A living faith. That our life is intertwined with Him. And as it's intertwined with Him, you can take that rope and pull things into reality for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God. What are you talking about, Pastor? You can believe God for the impossible. You can believe God. You can believe God for healing. You can believe God for people to be saved. You can believe God that the power of God will show up when you open your mouth. When you start to talk about Him, He shows up. Because the greater one is on the inside of you. Amen? So if you have not been water baptized, you have an opportunity to come to a session that I'm going to give right after service and walk through baptism. If you were baptized maybe as a child or you were sprinkled, I'm not disparaging any of that. I'm just going to tell you the Bible talks about baptism as being fully immersed. The word baptizo is not a little sprinkling. The word baptizo is fully immersed, to be identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. If you want that, you want to recommit your life, you want a fresh new start, then I invite you to come this afternoon right after service, and let's pray. Amen? Yes. Let's bow our heads right now. So, Father, we thank You that faith is action. And the first action that You ask of us is to open our mouth. The second one is obedience, to follow You. And so, Father, today with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's anybody in here that needs a fresh start with You, God, I pray right now You'd help them to clean the slate and to start fresh. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you want that in your life, I want you to raise your hand right now. Is there anybody? Say, I'm starting over. Thank You. Hallelujah. Anybody else? If you've never asked Jesus into your life, thank You. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, maybe you have. Maybe you're holding back. God's saying, in this service, He's saying surrender. He's saying surrender. Lay it down. Lay it down. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm giving you a moment. We've had a couple hands raised. Is there anybody else? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you've never known the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an opportunity for you to know Him. Get born again. Get connected with Him. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. That's how it works. Then you follow Him in obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all pray together. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come before You.
I come before You. Spirit.
In the name of Jesus. And I believe in my heart.
And I believe in my heart.
That Jesus.
That Jesus.
Is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
That he died for my sins.
That he died for my sins.
That he was raised from the dead.
That he was raised from the dead.
For me.
For me.
I choose to live for Christ.
I choose to live for Christ.
From this moment on. I lay it all down.
I lay it all down.
To live for you, God.
To live for you, God.
I receive your forgiveness.
I receive your forgiveness.
And I call Jesus, my Lord and Savior.
My Lord and Savior.
From this day on.
From this day on.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer, could have been the fifth or sixth time you prayed it as an act of rededication. It's all right.
That's right.
Mean it. Let it stick, and the Holy Ghost will empower you to live it out. He loves you that much. If that was your first time, I want you to tell a couple people, hey, listen, I started new with God today. Tell somebody. Open your mouth and give power to the Holy Spirit's work on the inside of you. Release your faith through words. I started new today with Jesus. I started new today with Jesus. God will meet you right where you are, and he'll help you. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. God is good. He is to be glorified. Living a faith life is exciting. Faith like a rope is certainly possible. Amen. All right. Psalm 121:7-8 says this. Let's all say it together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. Hallelujah. God bless you and thank you again for just the way that you've blessed us today as your pastors. It truly is an honor to be your pastors. God bless you. Amen.